Judge Lowe's office on the corner of Tate and Walnut, and he was judge of local court down there for quite a number of years, and his wife was an organist, and she played at the Zion Church for quite a long time. Across the way, headed north, was what is now occupied by church. It was a blacksmith shop, and now this is hearsay. I don't know this to be a fact. The fellow by the name of Pike ran that, and they said he was a descendant of the Pike Pike's Peak in Colorado. Now, I don't know how much there is to verify, what there is to verify that, but anyhow, that's what it was told to me. And then going on out the street, there was the next place, I think, would be the Scaletti's. The little Italian, Lord Scaletti, has been quite a local, had quite a bit of local prominence. The Scaletti's had a little fruit store out there, and they sold, in the wintertime, they sold bananas and stuff like that. And old John Scaletti was, so they said one time, now this is another hearsay, that a tarantula, a banana spider, bit him, and he chopped the lady's finger down and blocked and chopped his finger off. Now, this is hearsay. But they sold a lot of bananas and tomatoes and stuff in the wintertime. It was hard to get, and he managed to get them out of Cincinnati some way. And then the next, houses, homes, and then you come to St. Lawrence Church, and St. Lawrence, I don't know how many years it's been there, but that new school building was built in 1927, and that's been quite a place that of a morning or an evening, and you go there and watch those people coming and going from the masses. It amazes you that a man, the Pope, has such appeal, growing appeal, to be able to lead that many people all over the world, where you can't find another person in the, alive today that has that much magnitude, magnetism. And coming down the other side of the street, off of 50, was an old place called the Lake House, and it didn't have a very good reputation. And then the next place would be Bonfer, Charlie Bonfer. He had the inquiry agency there for quite a long time. He had a little building there, and then the next building is the old marble works, they called it. And Richter's in there with his optometry business now, and then across the alley was just little homes and perhaps there's a barbershop in there now, I believe. There was. I don't know what's now. And then Clothing built a car agency in there, Harry Clothing, and he later on he went out of business. And then Billy Williams had a fish market next, and he bought and sold raw fish. And then was a little another little building, and later on Mr. Harris moved out there. I might have them. I'm pretty sure Mr. Harris moved out there on Wall Street. And then later was Baker's had a grocery in there, and then everybody knew Bob Baker. He was mayor of Lawrenceburg one time, I believe. And then came the Barrett. The Barrett Hardware, and it had quite a reputation around it being one of the biggest hardware stores in Southeast Indiana. And I knew the family except Mrs. Barrett. I never knew her, but I knew the rest of them pretty well. And one of the Barretts now, I think, is connected with the Roar casket company or something. I'm not sure of that. But there's a Barrett in business around here yet, and he's one of the Barretts. And then there was a couple of buildings in there, and then the next building was occupied by Hasmer's father-in-law, Harry Blythe, ran a butcher shop in there, and he is the one of the father of Tony Hasmer's down at the bank. And then on the corner was a drugstore, and Pelly had a drugstore in there a long time. Nate Frankel had a clothing store in there. And then across the street on the corner was the old Nice Hotel, N-E-E-S, Nice. And I knew one lady worked in there. Her sister lived across the street from my grandmother. And her name was Kleckner, K-L-O-E-C-K-N-E-R. And she was more or less the handy lady around the hotel. And she could make the best mock turtle soup you ever ate in your life. And they went out of business after the 37 flood, and the bank went in there. And then and Clarence Hunter worked there. My dad knew him a long time. And then came the old bakery shop, Krause Bakery. And they were in there for years and years and years. And there was a several family there, the old sisters and brothers. And then came Schmar's place. They sold, they had a shoe repair shop in there. And there was several of those Schmar boys, and then some of the descendants are still around. And then came Annie and Maggie Klepper's confectionery. And Annie and Maggie could make the best soup and make the best sandwiches you ever ate. And two maiden ladies, and we would always stop in the place after the show at the Liberty Theater. We used to call it Liedertoffel, but after the First World War, they got away from the German name because they didn't want anything to do with the German name after World War One, and they started calling it Liberty Theater. And then there was a tin shop on the neck on the alley, Shorty Evans had a barber shop in there. Shorty Evans had I liked Shorty. He's a real good barber, and his wife was a real nice lady, and I became acquainted pretty well with a young barber in there. And we were pretty much interested in baseball, and we talked baseball a lot. And then Ernie had a store in there. M. Kimmel had a candy store in there, and she sold rock candy. And I don't think there's very many people who know what rock candy is, but she's old rock candy. And it was crystal-like looking candy, and a lot of people used that to make cough medicine with it, and put it in whiskey and glycerin and something else, and made a cough syrup out of it. But anyhow, she had that in a big set out on the counter in a big jar, and you can go in there and buy your crystal, your rock candy. And then Erdings had a sporting goods store, and sold lots of school supplies, and Ernie and I were good friends. The son of the man, Ernie and I were good friends, and he later married Elizabeth Axby, and lived over on Elm Street, and they went to Indianapolis, and Ernie passed away out there. He was an optometrist, Seacats' shoe store. They sold all kinds of shoes there. Cherry Seacats, they call him Cherry. I don't know what he named. They call him Cherry. And he married one of the Tice, into the Tice family. And then later on, they went out of business, and the barbershop or something went in there. And then next door is the P. Jackson, the old hardware store. And I can recall my dad sending me up there after a dime for the nails. And it all, ever since I can remember, it's been a hardware store there. And they still there, and they probably will be through the next century, the way it's going. And then across the railroad was the hotel. A woman by the name of Billingsley ran that, and she had a parrot out in front of her store, in front of the hotel, and everybody came along, caught that parrot, everything you could think of, and he could let out a sound like a somebody come up in off the shipyards. He could really lay it out, and the streetcar went by there down Walnut Street, the old Cincinnati Lawrenceburg and Aurora streetcar, and next door was the barber shop. Was Dawson's barber shop, and Dawson had a rack on the wall, and each of his customers, his steady customers, had a barber shop, had a mug, and the young men would go in there and this is similar to the Masons. It's Junior United American Mechanics, and that was their emblem. But this is his name, and his mug set up in the rack like that. And Charlie Dawson had to. He made some records. They said the fellow would get off the streetcar and dash in there and get a shave and catch went down to the end of Wall Street there to square away, and he got a shave and back on the streetcar going back out of town in about 5 minutes. And but this is the my dad's mug, and they had a group of those boys had to camp, and they were across the river up there at the mouth of Miami River in Kentucky. They called the Modoc tribe. Now Modoc is an Indian tribe, and they lived under natural conditions over there, and had an old gentleman take care of the camp. They caught fish, and they had fish, and they hauled their ice over there on the boat, big blocks of ice, and they had built them an ice house to keep the stuff in. But during the summer, that's where they would spend their summers over there. M-O-D-O-C, Modoc. The old Dover store. Agnes and Fred, and there was about five of them, and they were the very nice people. Agnes lived right back here. Agnes and Gus Cook, and Gus was down at the bank. He was a financial wizard, and she was a very good school teacher. And I often sat over there, and we'd discuss old times, and I wish they could have got some of her ways, the way they had done, how they came about coming to this country. I think the parents came to this country, and I think they were part Russian. I don't know. It's just hearsay, but they had that men's. It was a men's clothing store there. In that big building, and they went out of business, and the furniture business was in there for a long time, and now there's a carpet sweeper business in there now, I think. Well, then across the alley was Nick Evers had a men's shop in there for a while, and Annie and Maggie Cupper had a restaurant down there, and then later on there's some lawyers went in there, and then Marv Schultz's folks they ran a restaurant in there for a long time. They made the best doggone hamburgers, and then Doc Terrell had a doorway there, and he had his office upstairs, and he the old time dentist. Now on the corner, they had the Frankel, Abe Frankel, and that's where this Dolly Conwell worked. And they had quite a business. But I want to take you back out to out on Wall Street from the corner of Center and Walnut on the west side, going north. Every weekend they would run a market. The farmers would bring their wagons in and back them into the curb, horse and wagon, and you could buy all kinds of, during the summer months, or buy all kinds of produce. You could buy whole chickens. They had rabbits. The winters were cold then, and you didn't run into these ups and downs in the weather like you do today. I don't know what it was about it, but things were, when it got winter, it got winter, and they would have all this produce, and on the other side of where the marble works, where Richter's place is now, there was people had a truck garden down there, and they raised all kinds of celery, potatoes, lettuce, tomatoes, you name it, and then they raised that kind of produce down there, and they would have their stuff on the market there too. But that, my mother used to take me up there. She had a big little basket. She had a big willow basket, and she'd go up there, and for about a dollar she could get about a basket full of stuff, and had a cabbage and a nickel and all this other stuff, and big stalk of celery for a nickel, and there was no limit to what you could buy, but it was a treat to go up there to see that, how those people came in there. They came all over town in there by, and they'd even people bring big things of soup in there and sell. And it was not a It wasn't any competition to it. I mean, you come in there with your stuff, and then people wanted it, they bought it, it was good for the town, good for everybody that wanted to buy in there. And then the bakery was handy right there, and the meat shop was right handy, and you could get most of your week's supplies right there. And when usually on Friday morning, shopping, and you can get all your week's supplies in there, the Newtown Park, there's a fountain there, and originally they had band concerts there, and there was one man in particular, two, Carl Decker, the Decker Hardware Store, or the Decker Variety Store up on High Street there, and Carl Roerig, R-O-E-H-R-I-G, and he lived over in Newtown, and they were charter members, I guess you could call of what I knew about the part of the band. And they had quite a band, and they'd have concerts there during the summer. I don't know how often they'd have them. We'd go every little bit, and I don't know whether they had them every week or whether they had them maybe once a month. But anyhow, we would go. And I believe Billy Jones belonged to that. He was the custodian at the old Lawrenceburg Public School. And I believe the fellow by the name of Charlie Taylor, belonged to it. And I don't know whether Tony Swartz belonged to that or not, but he was town marshal one time. But their band was, there was nothing fancy about it. They were just a plain hometown band, but they put out quite a bit of entertainment for the people, and they played good music, and the people would go there and listen to them, and then, like everything else, it just faded out of the picture. But it was right there at that Newtown Park, and they had kind of a bandstand there, and all around that was little businesses over in Newtown. There was a grocery store, Bechtel's grocery store, later became Kroger's, and Bechtel's, one of the Bechtel children, it was a piano player. He used to play piano to the old opera house over on High Street, up on the second floor. And then Mary Lou married Fritz Gober, and the other two girls, I can't recall about them, what happened to them, but I think they're all, Mary Lou's the only one left. But anyhow, the band was a good hometown band, and all around there was buildings that were Fox had a shoe store over there, and Deutschle had a dry goods store, Deuschle, Deutschle. And there, the old Deutschle home in over there in on Front Street now, and it's kind of I think it belongs in the historic picture, but I don't know how much recognition it would get. But I remember that because my mother would send me over there after stuff and tread, and she'd buy yard goods to make something. I don't know. Women made a lot of bonnets and then Klepper's had a confectionery later there, Ed Klepper and Henry Klepper, I believe his name was Henry, they had a confectionery there and then for a long, long time, and then when this building alone went in there after the flood, after things got all new set up by the it went out of the picture. And then Lummel's had a drugstore on the opposite side of the street, Art Lummel. And Art was supposed to be the best pharmacist in this end of the area. And he was a good one. And he was associated with Ed Lee and his wife, Sadie. She was CCAT's barbershop on High Street. And Kane CCAT's, he worked Cincinnati. He married one of the Johnson girls, the old Johnson chair factory. And but he lived in there, and then next door the little house, Hack Constable and his sister, and on the corner of the front and Highway 50 was Helms Grocery, and on the other corner was another grocery, and I can't recall who ran out, but Kroger was in there one time, and where the Rocksburg utility building is, office and all that. That was buildings in there, but I'm not too familiar. On the other side of the street, there was a couple of destroyed breweries in there, and there was always saloon or something up and down the line there. Asby Bruce had a saloon there for a long time, and and Newtown never grew from a business standpoint because it didn't have the room to expand like downtown Larkspur did, but it did pretty well, and they got one church over there. I don't know whether it was a middle or not, but anyhow, that part of town in 1913. The high part didn't get flooded, but in 1937, all that got everything got covered. In the old Rossville Distillery, I can't remember who originally owned that, but the O'Shaughnessy boys at one time had it, Victor and Bill and Gene, and they operated at the Rossville Distillery. And Victor was a politician, and Bill was a businessman. Gene was a contact man. Victor's wife was a sister to Fallbush. Had a grocery out in East End of town there, and she worked at the in the office, and then when they after got married, but the Paul Bushes across from my grandmother who lived on Dunn Street was a woman lived in there. Her name was Paul Bush, and she was associated with the Chicago Metropolitan Opera. She had a good voice. She you could hear her with her practicing. I heard her many times going downscale. But anyhow, getting back to Rossville, the Rossville distillery was later sold after the Prohibition days, and Seagram came in there. But Prohibition, they made alcohol, and they made grain alcohol for medicinal purposes, and they also made a denatured alcohol was used to be used as antifreeze in cars, and they call that Ajax. And I know I helped run the cans, helped run a machine that filled the cans there, and they called it Ajax. And then they made an alcohol that they thinned shellac and stuff with, and they called that Shellacol, Shellacol. And help run that, put out in gallon cans, and help run that machine. I ran that machine. And but the old Rossville distillery, all the old timers were more or less associated with that distillery in one manner or the other. But my two uncles worked there. I know they worked there a long time, and until after Seagram took over. And of course, they were too old; they didn't work. The old fairground at the end of Center Street, as you approach the old fairground of a park, and in just a place for people to sit, and a lot of them would rest coming up over the fairground or going to the fairground, sit there in the benches, and there was a pump right there by the town pump, had a cup on it, you get a drink, and then they went up over the grade there, over across the railroad track and down into the fairgrounds, and then beyond the, on the east wall of the fairgrounds was the levee. And the old fairgrounds had, on the opposite side of the levee, where the water would get, they had a racetrack, had a half-mile racetrack, and they had harness races there. Every fair, they would have, a lot of good horses came off of the circuit and would come in there to run out their schedule of the fair circuit. And I recall one horse, it didn't look like, they called her Madame Lamont, and she was Black Mare, she's 12 years old. And they ran a mile, ran around the track twice, the half-mile track. She didn't look like she could get across the track without falling down. But she ran that race, she won two straight heats, and she was way out 10, 15 lengths ahead of the other horses, and she's a pacer. And you couldn't believe the way that horse could move and what her movements, and the way she was at the end of the race, she didn't look like she put out any effort at all, but she was so far ahead of the other horses, it almost made you wonder whether she was actually a ringer running under that name, or whether that was her real name. But she could really run. But the old fairground, they had all types of gambling wheels. They'd have fortune with a fortune wheel, and they'd have the card games, and they'd have things to throw darts, and anything to have a little gambling nature to it. Devices for the times, and it was you buy paddles or you buy a ticket, and they had the thing that was very interesting was they have the poultry show and the automobile show. Of course, the automobile show, that was when the automobile was in its infancy, and they'd have these art exhibits. These women would bring their stuff, their quilts, and oh, I don't know what, all that kind of stuff they would make, and have they'd have rabbits there, they'd have chickens there, have turkeys there, and anything in the poultry line they'd have there, and then they'd have the livestock, the cows, the sheep, and the hogs, all that, all on display there, and that was usually done. All that was done in the afternoon. So the judging of those, that livestock and the poultry. Most of the time, the automobiles would be toward evening, and then at night, why, they didn't have much activity in that part of the thing. Was all out on the midway. The shows, and they have all kind of shows, Wild West shows. They had a gentleman here, they call him Buckskin Ben, and if you can run across anybody that belongs, that is part of the Standard family, you could probably find out some things about Buckskin Ben. I can't, at a Wild West show, I can't recall his name. I didn't know it, but I can't recall his name now, but they call him Buckskin Ben, and he had a Wild West rodeo type show, and he went around the fair circuit, and he did pretty well. I didn't know one of the family, but he passed away now, and I just lost track of all the rest of them. But if they ever want to look something up, if they look up the Standard family, they may find out something about that. But a lot of things, I won't say the origin was here, but they were carried on by some of the people here to a higher stage. And I think there's a lot of stuff that could be looked into and maybe made part of the program that hadn't been scratched yet. I've got a million things to say yet, but time's running out.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to what you remember about the beginning of the veneer area.
Oh. The old veneer company, there was people by the name of Bester was associated with it. People by the name of Tacolvi was associated with it. People by the name of what was their name? Well, Kreinup, Baseville. Clarence Kreinup's name, they called him Baseville, but he's pretty well associated with this veneer, Baseville veneer, and of course they bought the logs and peeled them like you peel a banana. They get all that good veneer off of there, and then they treat it and ship it out to wherever these furniture buildings were, so they could put it on first coat. On the original surface of the wood, so give it a finish with the veneer, and they operated there for a lot of years. I know my dad and my uncle both knew Clarence Kreinup pretty well, and even so, of course, it was right over from where my grandmother lived and where my dad lived when he was home yet, and my uncle, where he lived, on Dunn Street there, and it was right over a couple, 3 squares away. And Baseball Lumber, Baseball in there at that time, was going pretty well. And people with all their logs in their big wagons, all their logs in there, and they'd peel them and make veneer out of them. But they were a lot more furniture made in those days. It was really good furniture. You got away from a lot of this flat and dime type stuff. A friend of mine I know had had been maybe 50 years ago, had a piece of furniture made out here in Homer, Indiana, something to do with a dining room, and made out of cherry. And at that time, it cost her around $750. So, give you an idea, the stuff was made out of good cherry wood plus the cherry finish that they had to add to it, places with the veneer. And that place out of Homer, Indiana, I think they're still in business, and they specialize pretty much in restoring the old furniture or in building new furniture.
This is the end of the tape on the memoirs of Howard Christian, taped by Earl Mann, October 8, 1997.